You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Will Ted Ginn be on the field for the Saints yesterday in the locker room?
I believe I'm up to speed, you know, and, you know, it's an organization, and you got to play a role, you know, and I just go out and do as they tell me to, work me in however they have to, you know, it's no biggie for me, you know, just trying to be that team player and that leader. And just come back out and just give a little spark to my team.
Our number three, Ed Vinnies, Robert Meacham, Eric Alexander with us here as we are on Thursdays. As we've chatted a little recruiting, a little signing day when it comes to the Tigers. We'll touch base with Casey just clear in a second. Just kind of take a quick snapshot overall on the state tier as well and how some of the other schools and high schools did. I know, Eric, you coach a little high school as well now.
Yeah.
How good is high school football in the state, from your perspective now that you actually coach and you're out there on Friday nights?
Well, I mean, well, you see how many colleges are here recruiting in this area, You know, week in and week out. I mean, it's a lot of talent out here, you know, on a lot of these teams. Very, very talented.
All right, easy enough. I know when we have Casey on, we go every single week and we talk, Eric, about matchups and high schools that have guys going to be playing on Saturday. Take a quick snapshot as to how yesterday, early signing day went. Casey, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great, Gus. How about you?
Good. Follow him, by the way, on Twitter, @Casey_Gisclair. So how did yesterday sort of go? I was kind of surprised. Oh, I guess maybe I shouldn't be, right? Last year we saw this with the early signing period. A lot of schools got a good bulk of what they were going to get. I know Tulane got a good bulk of what they were going to get, if not the entire class. LSU's just waiting on maybe two, three players overall. But overall in the state, a lot of schools got the bulk of their signing class to commit yesterday.
Not a lot of drama. You know, a lot of the young men that were committed signed, which is good news for the coaches. Is, you know, they get to formulate a plan before February. And, you know, for LSU, their signing class, as you said, Gus, just about done, man. They've got another handful of spots here. A couple of guys they're trying to get, of course, is Mel Schaufster from Amid is the big guy they're trying to get the signature from, the big five-star defensive tackle. Devontae Lee from Amid, coincidentally a teammate of the young man we just talked about a minute ago. He's an athlete. He's also kind of an LSU lean. But around the state, man, I guess if you're looking for, you know, the big surprise of the day, it kind of, the storyline was that there was not a lot, a whole lot of surprises. The young men that were committed signed with the schools that they were committed to. And, you know, on signing day, that's usually a rarity. But everything pretty much was status quo and par for the course yesterday.
You know, you said no surprises. And was it a good situation, a good thing as well, Casey, that you saw a lot of the guys for the most part that are your top players, your Gatorade players, or your state players, or people that help win state championships, stay in state?
Yeah. Look, this is setting up right now where there's going to be a lot of really good talent from the Louisiana area playing at in-state schools. You know, if you look at the 24/7 rankings, LSU's got five of the top six in Louisiana. And then you scroll down a little bit, get into the teens and into the 20s. Louisiana Tech did an excellent job yesterday. Tulane did an excellent job yesterday. And University of Louisiana did an excellent job yesterday. The in-state talent is sticking around with these in-state schools, and that's great to see. And Gus, I know you're a Tulane guy, so I want to shout out a young man that Tulane got yesterday. Jaquan Jackson, who was an SMU commitment for throughout the entirety of his process, late in the game, he switched over to Tulane. That guy could play, man. He's 5'10", 175. He's going to be sort of a slot receiver, you know, scat back kind of thing for Tulane. And that offense, he's a home run hitter, and I think that he's going to be a grand slam home run for the Green Wave.
You know, it's interesting you bring him up. I know Coach Fritz was touching on him, too, as well. Player they got from Zachary as well. I mean, you saw a lot of these schools that you and I talked and gushed about the matchups in the Superdome on, you know, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I mean, Carr and Easton, you and I talked about this last week. I asked you how many kids from that game alone at some point or level will be playing on Saturday. I think you said something like 11, if not more than that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. If you look at some of the schools that produced talent yesterday, Edna Carson, Devin Bush to Arkansas. They sent Ronnie Action Jackson to Texas San Antonio. Ahmad Antoine has not yet committed. He's going to be going somewhere on February. For Warren Easton, Lance LeJean is deciding. He has a Florida State offer. Those schools just producing so many players. And here's a good example, Gus, of exactly the point that you're trying to illustrate. I'm going to read you a list of schools here, okay? I'm going to say Clemson. I'm going to say Alabama. I'm going to say Georgia. I'm going to say Arkansas, Arizona State, Virginia, and Navy. All of those schools signed the kid from University Lab yesterday.
Hmm. Wow.
What? This just in, that school might have some pretty good football players.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's literally a who's who. To think that yesterday a fax was sent to Dabo Swinney, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Herm Edwards, all from the same high school. And, you think we came on here every Wednesday and we're talking about how good that team was. That just illustrates the star power that they had on their roster.
And, Casey, we talked about it. Speaking with Casey Gisclair, who he and Marlon Favorite hosted Prep Weekly every Wednesday presented by the LSL High School. I mean, that was the thing, man, is that we knew it. We talked about it, right? I mean, Eric, when you do LSU game day on CST, from the spring to the summer to the first start of the season, we talked 2019 was going to be a ridiculous class.
No, there's no doubt about it. And if you look just in the state of Louisiana alone, if you go to the top of the recruiting rankings in the state of Louisiana, in this state alone, there are 4 5-star players. There are 4 players who are in the top 32 in the country. So think, there are 50 states, right? But 4 of the top 32 players in the country right now, and this is 24/7 rankings. I know everybody's system's a little bit different, but 4 of the top 32 are in Louisiana. And Gus, not only are they in Louisiana, they're in a very small radius. 2 of the kids are in Baton Rouge. Derek Stingley and Cardell Thomas, they're in Baton Rouge. John Emery is not far away. He's in Destrehan. Softster from the defensive tackle from the meet, that's not far away either. If you scroll down a little bit, Trey Palmer from Kentwood, Dante Starks, John Arrett. In the New Orleans and Baton Rouge area, and even in the suburbs of both cities, the depth of talent is just unbelievable. And that's not even talking about any of the kids at University or Southern Lab or heck, and we haven't even talked about North Louisiana yet at all.
Yeah, and Eric, that was the point that we were making back last hour about the importance of LSU being able to get that the number one player overall in Stingley. To your say, if you can kind of keep that talent, because Saban's been able to pull, Dabo's been able to pull. You've seen a lot of kids go over to Texas, go to Florida, and all that. So the ability to keep those guys, as I mentioned with Casey, is big, but especially for LSU.
Yeah, I mean, I also think it helps. It helps the subsequent classes as well. Okay, the class of 2020. They see guys who have, committed and signed and decided to stay in state and go to LSU. It helps those other guys coming up for next year's class. I think that's where we'll continue to see a big improvement in LSU recruiting.
Do you think a class like this will help spur on maybe to Eric's point to LSU to continue to get these players? Because they're going to have to need that if they have any hopes to try to, supplant Alabama.
Look, I was talking about this on social media yesterday, and LSU fans are going to want to listen because I think they're about ready to be very excited about what I'm going to say. LSU is going to return on offense next year. Their quarterback, they're going to return Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They're going to get John Emery into the mix. They're going to return 4 out of 5 offensive linemen. They're going to return all of their wide receivers, and they're going to return a lot of their defense. This has a chance to be a very special season next fall. It was one of those situations where, before the year, if you would have told an LSU fan that they were going to be 9-3, they would have probably taken it because there's all the doom and gloom of winning 6 or 7 games. 9-3 fans would have probably taken it. Now, if you tell them you're going to be 9-3 next fall, not a lot of folks would accept that because this team has a lot coming back and a lot of young men in this class, Gus, that we were talking about a minute ago. Cardell Thomas is going to come in. He's going to play right away on that offensive line. That's an area of need that Coach Ogeron has talked so extensively about. If we want to beat Alabama, we've got to be better at the line of scrimmage. Cardell Thomas is going to help you there. Derek Stingley talked about LSU's need to get a punt returner. Derek Stingley is going to be a punt returner from the first day he's on campus. He's number 3 player in the country. He runs a 4.3 40. He's going to take a few to the house. John Emery, he's a hard, physical, tough runner. He's going to help you from the first day he's on campus. So a lot of these guys are coming in, and though they're going to be true freshmen, they're going to be added to a veteran roster. There are a lot of players in that class that are going to play right away in Baton Rouge.
Casey, great info as always, man. Appreciate when you jump in and give us a little of the info as well. I know you love your prep football, and we obviously talk a lot about everything else from the Saints to the Pills and things of that nature. Thanks as always, Casey. Appreciate your time today, bud.
My pleasure.
Yep. At Casey underscore just Claire. I want to get into this with you, Eric, because you're obviously a high school coach here as well, but what is it about this area in this state? I mean, you heard them go through the list and the schools and one high school and lab that sent all those players, all those top name universities and coaches. Is it the high school coaching? Is it the lower levels to where before you get to high schools? Is it just certain programs in high schools that develop those players? Because I ask you that because a few years ago I did a series for Cox Sports that did, you know, gave awards and shows and focused on high school football players. Mm-hmm. So we'd go every week and go focus on somebody. One of them was Tyron Matthew at St. Augustine. My point is I would go and whether Cyril Crutchfield down low. And what shocked me was not every high school has facilities, much less weight rooms. Like I went down there at Bell Chase and for Coach Crutchfield, Robert, I mean, like their weight area was like four or five benches that were rusted out. But how he ran it, they were organized. They all took, turns rotating. But you know, it's not, we're not Texas here in a lot of these schools that have the money to do that. So that's why I'm asking is like, where does this come from? I mean, is it playground level? Is it like how are they getting? Is it just the coaching in high school? How are we getting some of these kids that are? I mean, Emery looks like a man. I mean, that guy there looks like he's been in college, you know, eating the free smoothies and working out with top notch, high paid, you know, trainers to get his body ready like that. How is Louisiana have players like this?
Well, I mean, I think. I think it's changed a whole lot over the years. I think guys are, you know, even though you don't have the facilities at your own schools, now guys are being trained, have their own trainers and being trained in different facilities outside of your school because they know that how important it is to perform on the field and put up the stats to, you know, earn a college scholarship. So, I think guys are more conscious about nutrition. Guys are more conscious about, you know, how they work out, how they perform, you know, at a younger, much younger age. I also think that, you know, Louisiana just have some dogs out here. To say it truthfully, I mean, they have dogs in Louisiana. I mean, it's like a pedigree. In the Destrehan, in that area, Hanville area, yeah. They're just year after year, so much talent comes from that part of the country. And they got kids all over the country going to school and all these, you know, in different places from that one little area. And I mean, it's just a breeding ground of talent. I also think that, with LSU being there, you start to see that kids of former players
got you
are whose parents know what it takes to get to the next level and perform on the next level. You're starting to see that come around.
Robert, Eric, I think, is touching on awareness now, right? I mean, we were talking about this when Brandon Marshall was signed by the Saints for a bit. He didn't stick around, but the point is he talked about it the day of the signing of how to take care of your body. I just think – there's more out there. More people are aware of it. Dads now understand a little bit more what it takes. So they go get the coaching. They go put them in 7-on-7 camps. A lot more things are available, but people are more aware.
I think it's more of so much of the kids, too, because you have all the social media. And so you get to watch NFL players. You know, when we was growing up, we didn't have the YouTube to go watch Jerry Rice, so you could watch Lawrence Taylor.
How they train.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't watch that. But now they can go watch. Okay, you can see Kamara pulling the Jeep. Well, Dad, I need to go pull a Jeep because Kamara was pulling the Jeep. Now you can see those type of things. So I feel like that helps too. Hmm. And like you say, they do have money. Like the parents are pretty much going broke trying to say, listen, this is all we got. But you need this personal trainer. This is what you want to do. So I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to ride with you. Are you, if you all in on this, I'm all in.
Yeah, Marlon, Skylar Green, two former LSU Tigers. You know, they have a facility and they work with high school athletes to try to get them to college. Mm-hmm. To your point, and to your point, Robert, what you talk about. You know, I remember watching on a bus trip last year. There was a grad assistant who's trying to be a coach at the collegiate level on the Tulane women's basketball team. She loved the dream, Hakeem Olajuwon. Just absolutely, she was a post player, won a national championship at Loyola. I've tried to play 21. She, like, kills me. I mean, like, she'll, you know, use her body on me, and I'm going flying. She just – she understood post-play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like – so she's like, let me tell you what I do in my spare time and what I'm trying to do with our girls. And she pulled up, to your point, a YouTube video of Olajuwon teaching Amari Stoudemire. And it was, you know, Stoudemire for, like, a week went to a gym and learned
in
with
Houston.
Him. Yes. Mm-hmm. And here he is – and – my eyes, now I've called basketball, I've watched it, I've played obviously at, you know, fun level, but to hear him talk about, hey, I'm going to get out over here, I'm looking at his shoulder, I'm going to feel it, and he's describing in ways that I can understand immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hit the ball. That's going to startle him a second. The second he does that, I'm going to dip my left shoulder, he's going to think I'm going left, I'm spinning right. I mean, he's like, he's describing those little things, and to your point, a receiver can talk about it. A DB can talk about, this is what I'm trying to do. I can go maybe see what Curtis Johnson, or you can say, hey, look, when a defender is doing this, do that. Eric, in your point, I'm trying to read a block there. Those are all things to what I'm saying. You can become more aware. You can teach yourself, and you can get more information.
And then Madden is so advanced now that it teaches you, like, how to be a GM. So now players are saying, okay, well, this is what Madden is saying. So, in real life, so this is what a GM is looking for out of me.
Interesting.
Information is readily available at the click of a finger right now. So, I mean, if it's anything that you want to learn, I mean, it's there for you. No matter what it is, how to eat, how to train.
That's a very key aspect of it, too. Just
one, another
supplements
thing,
and things of that nature. You just didn't have that. I mean, I didn't. My brother Martin, the only people that worked out was the football team.
Right.
Now everybody, I mean, I can go to the gym, right, down the street and go lift. Obviously, y'all can tell. But my point is.
One thing that you have to learn, too, is not get caught up into your high school rankings. You know, this person is ranked number two in the nation. But then they get to college, you don't hear from them no more.
Right.
Because it's 100 guys that's like you.
Mm-hmm.
What separates you from being the person that made you be number one in the nation?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they had a star rankings when I was coming out. But once you step foot on campus, everybody's on the same level playing field. So, like I said, you know, those guys are talking about winning, you know, beating Alabama. I mean, okay, yeah, it's all good to say that, but now it's time to get to work.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Two bowls.
As soon as you step on campus, it automatically prepares you to be an adult. You could go to class if you want, or you could go to practice half doing it. And then all of a sudden, like you say, week of Alabama. Oh, I'm going to turn it up. No, you can't do that. You have to come, like you said, you have to come in ready to work now.
That's right.
Because what you said, everybody's going to hold you to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And at this level and at that level, especially in particular, there are highly paid people that are trained to make sure that either you do your job or you don't, right? I mean, people are going to be looking to stop John Emery. People are going to be looking to do those things like that. Two bowls and natties, what I like to call it, when Eric Alexander and Robert Meacham chat with us here. Quick break. We'll come back. Let's use their knowledge and kind of start talking a little bit about the Saints and Pittsburgh matchup here. We've got Eric for a little bit longer before we let him go and enjoy a little lunch. What, are you having the steak today? You having the steak special?
I'm thinking about it. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, it's so good. I mean, it's such a great deal.
$12. You
know. I know it's on ESPN, so I kind of don't want to
exactly
put
right.
too big of a dent in there.
Well, that's how it works. As Sarah just gives this look over here. By the way, speaking of, it's almost your time here, right before the top of the hour. There you go.
Oh, she's talking today?
Yeah, imagine that. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover Live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
T-Bob here, and when my AC needs repair, I call the experts at River City's Total Maintenance. They're fast, they're professional, and they'll come out the same day you call. That's right, the same day, and they get the job done right. Couple that with the 2 and 3 year warranties and a 100% money back guarantee, and you cannot go wrong, my friends. So if you need same day AC service, critical in this heat, call River City's Total Maintenance at 504-841-3300. That's 841-3300, and tell them T-Bob sent you.
Vision Communications, in partnership with Franks, ESPN 100.3 FM, KLEB 1600 AM, LaRose Civic Center, and the Lafourche Gazette, is currently collecting non-perishable food items until December 31st. Look for our special collection bins at Franks Supermarket, the LaRose Civic Center, and Vision Communications. Even a small donation can go a long way toward feeding the needy right here in Lafourche. Vision Communications is a proud sponsor for our annual food drive, because Vision cares.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
Flooded vehicles from recent hurricanes will soon be flooding the used car market, so it's buyer beware. Flooded vehicles are supposed to be dismantled for usable parts or crushed for scrap and a flood title issued to that damaged car. But some unscrupulous dealers will buy a flooded vehicle, clean it up, and get it retitled with no indication it was flooded. Or uninsured cars will be cleaned up by the owner and sold online, also with no warning to the buyer. If the price seems too good to be true, there's a good chance you're buying a lemon. Make sure to check for flood damage and have a qualified mechanic inspect it before you write a check. The free VIN check service from the National Insurance Crime Bureau is a good place to start to see if a car has been in a flood. Go to www.nicb.org to check it out. And if you suspect fraud, give us a call at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
We want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday Season.
From Chad and Trixie Boudreaux, our family, and the staff of Joe's Septic Contractors.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
15-minute warning for Sarah. 15-minute warning for Sarah before you come insult, join the intern a little bit more. You know what's interesting? There it is on the TV right in front of us. Eric Alexander, Robert Meacham, as we're live at Vinny's. Is AD's uncertain future becoming a distraction for the Pelicans? Robert, you're sitting there saying no. Jordan and I say, well, I mean, look, the fact that you're talking about it and you're seeing it like that. Eric, give me this because you have an interesting perspective as we switch our attention here. We're going to talk Saints, Steelers. You actually played against Ben Roethlisberger, obviously, in Pittsburgh in your time in New England. But one of the things that Bill Belichick did very well, right, was try to almost insulate. Like, you never had that quote-unquote distraction, right? I mean, like, y'all were almost anonymous, right? But that's a concerted effort to do that. I know Robert and I talked in hour number one about Sean Payton doing that, right? He was very short today, like 30 seconds in his conference call. Drew Brees wasn't very – he was very short yesterday. It seems like they're locked in, quote-unquote. Can talk of trading of a big player or a big name or contract issues affect a locker room in your mind?
I think it can, but you got to look at it's different in the NBA, right? Because they want those guys to have big personalities and talk about these things and have big social media presence. So, I mean, that's what the NBA is. I mean, So if you're going to take the good of that with the NBA, you got to take the bad, which is – this is AD's uncertain future causing trouble in that locker room.
That's interesting because I know with the Patriots in years past, you've had key defensive players, defensive backs, Malcolm Butler situation, you know, things like that. So, you know, and look, in the Super Bowl, you had players go, we have no idea why he's not playing. And you wonder if it affected the Super Bowl on that. Robert, we talked in our number one about how Sean and Drew make an effort to make sure that locker room is kind of tight in and focused. You said AD's talk isn't an issue in the locker room. Why?
Because it's the next man up anyway. I mean, it's the next man up anyway. I mean, AD is the guy. Everybody knows that. But everybody gets paid to play, right? Get paid to have fun, right? Go have fun. Go play. What it, however it unfolds, is going to unfold.
Right.
If it's good, it's good that he will stay. Now, it would be bad if he leaves. Okay, now all the other players have to adjust to somebody else coming in. Okay, that's a part of the game. Like Eric said, it, you can't take the good and not take the bad. This is considered as bad, but it's not really bad.
You even lost, though it's a franchise player?
You just lost two games.
Okay.
Okay, you was on a win streak. Now you lost two games. Now everybody thinking the world's going in. That's not the case. I think the problem what it does is it hurts the fans. You know, coming to the game.
That's what I said earlier in the week.
That's the biggest thing that I think is effect. I don't think it affects the players. I think it affects the fans.
Look, I threw this out earlier in the week, fellas, and feel free to respond to it. Because normally, right, you know, it's hard to believe, but Christmas is Tuesday. We're, what, 5-6 days away? Mm-hmm. 5 days. 5 nights, according to the Disney Channel when I was watching it with my son this morning. 5 sleeps until Christmas. That's exactly what they had on this station.
The Santa tracker, huh?
That's it. 5 sleeps. My point is, you know, you'll buy packages or game tickets. Mm-hmm. I know you've done that. What if you wanted to buy some Pels gear? Like, let's say Carver's 8 or 9, and he wanted an Anthony Davis jersey. I mean, like, I wonder if that is affecting that. You know, like, yeah. Am I going to go fork out 120 bones for a Nike jersey if it's going to be an obsolete jersey come to some, you know what I'm saying? So I guess you buy a Pels hat, a Pels shirt, but you wonder that if that affects it right now. And if that's the case, and I said this already for weeks, that's a franchise problem. That's a problem for Gail Benson. That's a problem for the management. Because if you're not selling tickets, if people aren't going there because they think that guy's checked out or that guy's going to get traded, and then you don't have people in the stands, that's an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an issue.
You definitely hit the nail on the head there. I mean, regardless of it's in a problem in the locker room or not, from the fans' perspective, it's perceived
right as
a problem.
And I don't know how you fix it. I don't know how you fix it, Robert. I don't know if you go to Facebook. I don't know if Gail has to come out and say, hey, we're here.
Coach Gentry just tried it.
Right.
What he said, we're not trading him at all. I don't care what nobody else says.
Which 5 times they've said it already this year, but that's the thing. I don't know how you fix it other than AD said it, he's staying.
But it's a rumor.
Focus. Right. I hear you. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what you do. I
mean, he has to come out and pretty much hold a press conference and say, listen, I'm not leaving here, I'm here, or I'm planning to leave,
right,
or one of those things.
To me,
I think that would
way.
Help.
There's only one way.
Win.
Him and Ms. Benson
win,
sit down.
But more importantly, it's the Supermax. He's eligible this summer. He signs for the next 5 years for $240 million, and all that goes bye-bye.
Yeah,
that is so true.
I mean, it's that simple. And again, that's the thing I keep saying. That's fine. We can start saying all of this. Here's the fact, right? They don't have the depth right now. They don't have the point guard that they wanted. The guys that are injured, you're seeing the effects. When they're healthy, they can compete and win. They can play. If he signs that, they're good. Eric, if they win, people are happy. Whenever 4-0, people were excited about this team.
Oh, yeah.
When they're win-losing, people are like, oh, he's leaving. So, I mean,
But let me ask you this. I'm not from it.
Uh-huh.
It was the Hornets at first.
Yep.
Now it's the Pels. When have it ever been a basketball town?
See, I think winning matters, right? So let me turn it around on this aspect of you. Because you played there. You're wearing the gear. You got a Saints polo and a Saints hat. You know darn well when this team was 7-9 for 3 straight seasons, people were saying, is it
we're still going to Super Bowl.
Well, but here's the thing. No. There were some people that diehards. But I'm telling you, there were people wondering, has Sean stayed too long? Is it time for somebody other than Mickey Loomis to make decisions? Absolutely. Maybe since Drew's got a few years, do we use him and trade him to get some pieces? a Hall of Fame quarterback and possibly a Hall of Fame coach. When they were 7-9, what those rumors, where you think they came from? You guys play the game. You know how that works. When, oh, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Colts are looking at Sean Payton. I'm like, he hasn't won in 2 years. Organizations don't go out and try to hire teams that aren't winning. That's coming from Sean's camp. Trying to remind fans, oh, hey, you don't want me out of here, huh? Because they felt heat. Mm-hmm. They felt a little bit, right? He got that contract extension. You tell me who goes up to $8 million a year when they don't make the playoffs. That's how it works. But my point is, fans were wondering, is it time to get some fresh eyes? Is it me? Has he just been here too long? And what are we talking about going into this Sunday? The number one seed in the NFC. So to everyone's point, winning fixes everything. Quick break.
That is true.
When we come back, we'll focus on it because Eric played Big Ben. I want to know what that's like. You said something in the beginning of the week, Robert, about Antonio Brown and what separates him.
I think he would agree
with
me on this.
All right, boom. Let's go back and forth because you actually seen, right? I mean, you've seen a lot of these guys that the Steelers have, so let's talk about it. It's a Sports Hangover. Two segments left from Vinny, 3217 Ridge Lake and Metairie on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
During the new year, new ride season ending sale.
The 2019s are here.
And all 2018s must go.
We have new 2018 Outlanders with our season ending price of just $19,995.
That's right, a new 2018 Outlander that comes with heated seats and Apple CarPlay for just $19,995.
At Barker Mitsubishi, we have a new ride for you.
A new 2018 Eclipse Cross.
That you can drive home for just $19,995.
$19,995 for either a new 2018 Mitsubishi Outlander or Eclipse Cross.
Now, those are some real season-ending savings.
Plus, these new Barker Mitsubishis come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
So come save during a new year, new ride season-ending sale.
Only at Barker Mitsubishi.
Where St. Charles meets West Cullen Boulevard in Poma.
Or shop online at BarkerMitsubishi.com.
18KT015, MSRP 2586, 2865, yield discount, design factory rebate, item number 18T128, MSRP 24425, 790, yield discount, 2500 factory rebate, specific NLC deal detail. Once you consider which IMIEV is January 2nd, 2019.
Home IQ from Vision Communications is smarter security and home automation. From your smartphone, tablet, or PC, activate and monitor your security system, lock and unlock your doors, view and record video, control your thermostat and lights, all on one easy-to-use app and website. With Vision's Home IQ, home is where your handheld is. Visit viscom.net/homeIQ to learn more. Louisiana license F1256.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Wishing you all the joy and happiness of the holiday season. May you be blessed with peace, love, and joy. From the staff at Valgu Funeral Homes, 4 locations to better serve you.
Here in South Louisiana, traditions matter. Whether it's community festivals or Sunday afternoon family gatherings, we value these regular occurrences as part of our fabric of life. At SL Bank, we're built on the traditions of true community banking, relationship-based, service-driven banking that embraces your financial goals as much as you do. Come see us today. SL Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender in La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Jordan on the Steelers' offense.
Of a quarterback in the backfield, you know, he's able to extend plays. He has, you know, one of the top duo wide receivers in the league. James Conner is running extremely well, and you know the numbers seem a little skewed, but when I turn on the film, he's a hard runner. So I don't know if he's playing or not. Is he playing?
I don't think so.
Nobody is going to give me this definitive, but Right. So, I mean, if we have to prepare for, you know, the other running back, he seems to be like a little bit more scattier, but when he gets out in the open field, he makes people miss. So this is a game that we're going to have to execute our game plan.
Cam Jordan on the Steelers offense. All right, so Eric Alexander actually played against the Steelers. Most of those guys on offense, including Big Ben. And, Robert, you want to bring up something about Antonio Brown. First, let's start with Big Ben. You think he's one of the top quarterbacks, right?
Of course.
Okay, why?
For one, Cam just hit it on the head. The way he extends plays, when it's man-to-man coverage, he sits and waits on his receivers to get open. And a lot of other quarterbacks, when that rhythm is off. They go to the next guy, and if that guy is not open, then the play is done. Big Ben extends a lot of plays.
When you played him, is that kind of what you experienced?
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. It's definitely his ability to extend plays, and DBs don't want to cover for longer than they have to. So his ability to extend plays, and then his relationship with his receivers, knowing that, okay, I know I have time to adjust this route because I'm covered now, but let me make this adjustment. Ben knows I'm going to make this adjustment, and they probably practice this.
Uh-huh.
But it definitely helps. I mean, and Ben is a big guy back there, so he's hard to bring down, and that's one of the ways he extends plays. He doesn't go down easily. You can have him around the shoulders, and he's still throwing darts. You can have him around the legs. He's still throwing plays. He'll stiff arm somebody and get him, you know. And that's how he extends plays. I mean, and like I said, if you're a defensive player, you think the ball's supposed to come out now, and then you're expecting the ball to come out now. You look at the quarterback, then the receiver's not there anymore because he's adjusted his route to something else, and now he's wide open. And he seems to do that innately with whoever is the receiver.
You know, the Patriots had a tremendous amount of success against the Steelers and Big Ben, which is why this past, you know, win by Pittsburgh was such a big deal, and it ended, you know, a losing streak for them here as well. But Eric, one of the things that I think Pittsburgh's been really good of, and Robert, maybe the Saints have had that for a while too, is just this DNA. That's what they're known for. I mean, I don't know, am I wrong in thinking that when the Steelers come in, they're just a physical team? That sort of thing. Obviously, you don't have Polamalu back there in those days when their defense was like that and their linebackers and such, but it's kind of their makeup, isn't it, Eric, that this is a team that's just going to – they're going to be a physical team, and they want to bring it to you.
Yeah, I mean, their MO hadn't changed since the 60s when they were winning games with Bradshaw. You know, Tomlin, they want to be a physical, tough football team, and that's what that city represents, and that's what they try to bring every Sunday, every time they get on.
Robert,
the field.
How difficult is it to play a team from the AFC, a team that you don't see very often?
It's kind of difficult because you don't know their tendencies in crunch time, but with film study, it kind of helps, but. You know, doing the management of the game for like Coach Payton, it would be tough. But you go back to old film study because I guess what coaches like to do is probably what they're gonna do in crucial crunch plays.
One of the things, obviously, that we're going to see on Sunday is the battle between the Saints' defensive backs and that receiving corps, Juju and Antonio Brown. I mean, they're pretty good there. You said something earlier in the week about Antonio Brown that I've used a couple times already on the show. You said he doesn't run a real route. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, okay, if he have a slant call, now he might run the slant. But if you're not paying attention, he takes it up the field and Big Ben finds him, you know, for an 80-yard gain. So if I'm a DB, if I'm Lattimore, if I'm Apple, this is a game where if he goes – to the sideline, I'm standing over there with him. Wherever he goes, you have to go. This is one of those games where for the secondary can be very tricky and very tough because it can be a play that look like, oh, they sacked him. They sacked Big Ben in some kind of way he gets out of it. Now you get a big game. Like, this is a game where you have to keep playing. Like, you're going to be exhausted after this one.
Interesting.
For secondary.
So, Eric, from the defensive standpoint, knowing by what Robert just said there, does that mean that front seven for the Saints, which has been playing really, really well, right? What, 20, 8 sacks now and in 6 games at 24 and 5 going into that game. They got 4 last week. So almost 30 sacks for him. Does that mean, hey, a guy that's tough to bring down? Is it just hitting a guy that got a shot in the ribs, you know, 2 weeks ago that Mike Thomas said he got a painkiller shot? So he's probably still a little tender. Rib injuries don't heal overnight.
Mm-hmm.
What's the game plan? I guess what I'm getting at is the front seven of the Saints going to be key to Robert's point, because that secondary, he's saying they're going to be exhausted. So I need to try to get him to at least get rid of the football sooner.
Yeah, I think that is going to be something that they try to key in on. It is bring pressure and try to get the ball out of Big Ben's hands as soon as you can. I think one of the big keys of this game is going to be covering the tight end. I watched the Patriots game. The tight end killed him.
Yes.
Vance McDonald. He played well, and he was definitely an X factor in that game. I mean, everybody knows about Juju Smith-Schuster, and they know about Antonio Brown. They know what those two guys can do. I mean, they're targeted the most out of anybody, you know, especially on that team, and they've definitely produced. But I think the tight end is going to be a key person to look for it in this game.
My key person would be the running back number 38 for Pittsburgh.
Jalen Samuels.
The way he catches the ball out the backfield. Yes, he used to be a receiver in college, so he does understand it. But in the open field, he makes the first guy miss. So this is a game also to where you have to wrap up. You can't just go hit him with a shoulder and think he's going to fall.
Uh-huh.
Because he actually was the booster against the Patriots. You know, his big runs. That actually helped. And then, like Sean said, the tight end was doing his thing out there.
One of the things I think that's interesting as well, what you guys are sort of saying, too, this is a team that, you know, again, you look at the standings and where they are in the AFC. They're a year removed from thinking that they should have been in the AFC Championship game. They got upset by Jacksonville. They had all those different elements that we talked about a little bit just this hour ago, early in this hour, how AD can maybe affect a locker room and such. Eric, from your standpoint as a linebacker, imagine having to face a guy like a Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown at offense and then not. It's a big difference. Do you think that whole situation affected Pittsburgh this year at all? It could be a difference of 2 wins. They have 8 now. They could be at 10, you know, and the top seed right now is 11. It could be a difference by them that.
Oh, I mean, I don't think it affected the locker room. I feel like James Conner, he came in and did perform well. I actually think that, you know, having this Le'Veon Bell situation actually brought that team closer together, especially at offensive line. You see how many of them got, you know, voted to the Pro Bowl this year. I mean, they played well. I think James Conner has played well. He's ran the ball well, caught the ball out of the backfield pretty good. I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers side by side. I mean, obviously, yeah, there probably was a drop off from Le'Veon Bell, but I don't think overall, I don't think that, you know, they really lost that much from just looking from outside in.
You know, Robert, one of the things that you're mentioning with Antonio Brown that he can do so well is just run those routes, extend those plays, things of that nature too. Guy still has it to make those plays after he catches the ball, doesn't he?
Say it one
more time. The ability to still be able to make plays after you catch and run.
Oh, if he catches the ball, him and Juju, they catch the ball, they get 2 to 3 extra yards, or they may get 15 to 20.
Right.
You never know. That, like I said, that's why it's a game that where you have to wrap guys up. You can't just go in and hit them with your shoulder and think that's going to bring them down. Now if somebody already has them, then that might work. But this is a game where you have to – this is a back game, as Sean would say. This is a back game.
Because what's interesting, because you just made that point, and again, I kind of referenced Sean being a little short today, Drew Brees not being as, you know, as long-winded as he was yesterday. How difficult and how much do you want to try to – or not try, how do they – over there on Airline Drive, kind of keep you focused in, because all the talk, right, is about the number one seed, get the number one seed, almost like an assumption that the number one seed's going to be clinched here. And I keep saying, this is a playoff game for Pittsburgh. They've got to win this game, you know, for what they want to try to get done. So I get the sense and feel that that's what you're doing. You've heard Cam Jordan, Ted Ginn, Teron Armstead yesterday. a bunch of players saying, no, it's about this game. We're not even thinking about the one seed.
That's how you keep them focused. You don't even talk about the one seed until after the game. This whole week, you just talk about Pittsburgh, and you get your guys focused on Pittsburgh. Like you said, this is a playoff game for Pittsburgh because it can mess up their season or it can help their season. And then if you beat the number one team in the NFC, that gives you more confidence going for the rest of the season.
And so I've been saying, too, the last couple of weeks, the more the Saints kept winning, the more that streak kept going, the target now comes in. Yeah, because I think New Orleans started the beginning of the season playing that underdog role, the disrespect card. Everyone's talking about everyone else rather than that. So now when that happens, you know, things change, right? I mean, remember, Michael Thomas was starting to do some stuff to the Bengals and other players. They're like, oh, he's talking all that stuff. Well, you know what? Those DBs all week go, okay, try that stuff on me, right? I mean, that's what sort of happened. I think teams amp up and now gear up to face New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when Michael Thomas had a few things to say, they held him in the game. And, I mean, like, literally held him. And I don't understand. What my question is what is a pass interference these days? Mm-hmm. Because when you're running with a receiver and you don't turn and look for the ball, I thought you had to turn and look for the ball. Nowadays, they're just playing the guy's hands and pushing them before the ball comes, and it's not a pass interference.
Eric, you hear this, an offensive guy complaining in today's day and age that he's not getting the call. I would feel bad for you right now to try to play linebacker and cover guys like McCaffrey, man. Gurley, Kamara. How do you do it without holding on to a jersey?
I'm more confused about some of these penalties now than I was coming into the season. Targeting, I've seen targeting calls that haven't been called the last few games. I don't know.
The one with Clay Matthews, wait. I don't understand. Like, I understand protecting the quarterback. Right. I
the
get
sack
it.
On Cousins early in the year.
I get it, but that was just, like, come on now. No. Like, what do you want a player to do? And then there's some plays where, like, you've been taught since we were little kids how to you go across the bow. Well, I was taught to protect myself, so I'm going to ball up. It's 90% of the plays are helmet to helmet. You know, that means nothing you really can do. If let's say I catch an out route and he's already in the air, ready to make the tackle, and I turn to face him, I'm turning the brace to protect myself. Well, his helmet is already, it's not like he's trying to go helmet to helmet. He's already in the air. He's launched.
Yeah.
So how do you protect him? You know, how do you protect the defensive player and protect the opposite player?
Yeah, no one ever talks about how you guys can get concussed, huh, Eric?
All right, Robert, man, I got a newfound respect for you,
exactly.
Brother. Hey,
it's
how do you
Christmas
protect
season.
The defensive player?
Speaking of which, the Grinch herself will talk to Sarah when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
The grit to take on any task? Come to Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Homa today during their big finish event. See the 2018 1500 SLT Crew Cab 4x4 with over $11,000 off MSRP or the 2018 Ram 1500 SLT Crew Cab 4x2 with over $11,000 off MSRP. WAC excludes TTNL Chrysler Capital Incentive must finance through Chrysler Capital. Non-prime bonus for 620 or below Beacon score. Truck owner conquest must own competitor truck. Prices good on listed stock number only and good through 1-3-2019.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Terrio, Douay, and Terrio, more than just an insurance company, they're marine insurance specialists. Whether it's fishing boats, cabin cruisers, sailboats, or marine industry, you can trust Terrio, Douay, and Terrio to get you the coverage you need at a price you deserve for your home, your auto, life, fire, and health. They've been taking care of people since 1957. Call Terrio, Douay, and Terrio at 475-5126. Just ask for Lynn Pierce or David O. along Bayou Lafourche in Golden Meadow.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. I mean, this is a classic. Tomorrow, by the way, I will be asking you your favorite holiday slash Christmas song. Which one is it?
Baby, it's cold outside.
Baby, it's cold. I'm not remotely shocked at all that that's the one you went
only
with.
Only because there's controversy about it.
Well, no, there's no controversy about it. You know, a couple years ago, I looked at my wife. I'm like, have you ever listened to the lyrics of that song? She really doesn't want to be there. And he said, no, come on in. Why don't you have a drink? it's a little weird. Anyway, we'll have a little fun. Speaking of having some beverages, if you cannot get to, there it is. Just for you. If you want to get to watch the Saints game and you don't have a ticket, why should you come to Vinny's on Sunday?
Because we have awesome drink deals.
Uh-huh. Like?
Like $2 off pitchers.
You just said it like the singer of the song, by the way.
Like?
We have great drink deals.
$2 off pitchers. We have a wing and beer special, 16 wings for and 7 beers, domestics, for $25.
I mean, 16 wings and 7 beers for $25, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
You can share if you'd like, but that's Bradley's like, that's my order. I want 7 beers
right.
and 16
I want
wings.
The whole bucket to myself.
No, exactly right. What else?
You can do just the 7 beers for $14, an ultra bucket, $16. Mm-hmm. Corona and import is 21, and then if you just want wings, which is 16 wings for $14.
There you go, easy enough. And what's happening on New Year's Eve?
Oh, we have a DJ from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
I threw you off because I was going to be DJing.
No, you're not coming.
Why?
You can come and hang out, but
look,
you're not
the
DJing.
The DJ is here 10 to 2. He's got to go to the bathroom.
If it's our
take
normal
a beverage,
DJ,
maybe needs to take a break.
If it's our normal DJ, which right. is DJ Nasty,
don't
he
clump,
does great
don't
on clump. Saturdays.
Don't clump Gus with a normal DJ.
I mean, seriously. I mean, really?
He's great. Uh-huh. We've gotten good crowds in here the past couple of Saturdays when he's been here. Uh-huh. But I'm pretty sure he'll be here that day.
You're pretty sure DJ Nasty. We'll be here
He's
as well.
Great.
No, I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying if he needs a break, I don't mind getting in there and having a little fun. Saturday, January 5th, we're going to have more details about this the next couple of Thursdays.
80s party.
80s party. Mm-hmm. We're gonna find who you're going to be. I'm going with Cindy Lauper.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but I'll Google.
Go Google who Cindy Lauper is. I know,
I'm
going to
go Google.
All right, go good. Go. Give the headset back to Eric here.
Billy Idol.
Yeah, back to the futures in the 80s. Yes, Jordan. Yes, I mean. I'm not picking on him, folks. He was born in 1998. Eric Alexander and Robert Meacham, we got about a minute here. It's real simple. I need a key to the game and a score. Eric, we'll start with you.
I don't necessarily know if this is a key to the game, but I'm so interested in watching these guys up front. I want to see the Saints D-line versus, the Steelers offensive line and see how the Saints or the Steelers try to control each other. That's what I'm most interested to see. The score, I think it's going to be a pretty high scoring game. I got Saints 38.
Mm.
Saints 38, Steelers 34.
Oh, whoa. You think it, really? So this defense is going to give up some points, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's all the time we have for Eric Alexander.
Well, I mean, they get up 24 points a game in a dome.
I hear you. Robert, I need a key and a score. Eric's got 38-34. What do you have?
I think the keys to this game, I'm really worried about the Saints' offensive line. I think the offensive line is going to play a big part in this game. And I'm going like E. I'm thinking it's going to be 34-30.
Wow. So a defense that hasn't given up a point in three straight games in the second half, going to give up 30 points both of y'all feel that.
I just feel the reason I feel that way is because what's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are starting to figure out to keep the ball more.
Right.
Keep the ball out of Drew's hand. So I figure sustaining drives more. I don't think the Saints, if they don't get as many opportunities, then that might kill the drive.
To be fair, I'm not being disrespectful, but Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, a little different offenses than what we saw in Dallas, who got shut out in Indianapolis, a little bit different than what we saw in Tampa, and a little bit different than what we saw in Carolina with a very hurt Cam Newton and really no weapons on the outside. So maybe you two guys are onto something. At @EA_LSU Tigers, the way to follow Eric Alexander. We're still working on Robert's Twitter. We'll still make it work at some point. As always, thanks for tuning us in. We'll see you tomorrow at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, myself and Jay Hargrave, and of course you. Thanks so much for being a part of the show, and we'll see you tomorrow. Up next, Matt Moscone, after further review on ESPN New Orleans. By the fruit of the